if you missed Will Dawkins last hour, I think we'll play some of that back for you in the final hour of the show. Joining us right now is actually one of my favorites. We have talked about Monica on the show here and there over the last couple of years. Monica McNutt from ESPN. She is also a terrific game analyst on the Knicks radio network. She's from here, grew up in PG County, went to Holy Cross over in North Bethesda, Kensington, played there, played at Georgetown for 4 years, and now has been not only, you know, what you do with the Knicks, but a part of all of those ESPN morning shows, especially during basketball season. And I texted you this, and I was being honest. I think what you did the last two nights, interviewing families and players after they get selected, is one of the hardest things to do because they're so emotional. The parents aren't used to it. They typically are nervous. You know, the players are super young, and I just thought you did such a great job with that. But do you agree with me that that is a hard thing to do?
First of all, Kevin, thank you. And yes, God, yes, it is. It is one of my favorite assignments at ESPN, and this year marks my fourth year in that position. So I do have the benefit of some reps behind me. But it's really tricky because we spend, you know, the week preparing. We've got media day the day before. And you could end up throwing everything you prepared out of the window. Like, it's a really sensitive read in terms of what and how best to meet the moment, but right. In a respectful way. Like, I'll share with you candidly, I was a little nervous about the Kamon Malawach interview. It was one of my favorites, but I hoped that I paid that young man respect. Like, I'm mindful of, like, stereotypes and all that kind of crazy stuff, but I got some notes from some folks that worked with him at NBA Africa that thought it was just a great moment for him, and we did that well. So, yeah, it's really sensitive, and it's pressure. And it's literally, Kevin, it's like 45 seconds of the broadcast, but it is one of the more memorable moments. And so, yeah, it's plenty of pressure. But you know what? We don't run from pressure, Kevin. Okay? Pressure
well, I know.
When pressure burst fight.
And you handle it well. I mean, you're a shooter. I know that about you.
There you go.
So I know you're ready to fire when you get the opportunity, but I always think in those positions on those nights, the people doing that have a much more difficult job than the viewers know. And it's really, like you said, it's very tricky. I thought, by the way, the Malawach was phenomenal. I really enjoyed VJ Edgecombe, who immediately kind of protected his mother. Did you notice that?
I love that. But again, to that point, I love that. But I was like, ooh, wrong tenor. But I think it was a good moment to show that he's got his mom's back. And I thought his brother added such great context in terms of watching VJ when they were at those parks in the Bahamas years and years ago. And VJ was another one that was one of my favorites. I think if we just rattle off my favorites real quick, the Wolf family was fantastic. His mom, Tina, was just over the top. But she had been over the top and so joyful the entire night, not just during that interview. I kind of liked Ace Bailey. I thought he's got some swag to him. Obviously, there were a lot of questions about that young man. I think Liam McNeely is one that really kind of registered as we're closing out the night, and he's waiting to hear his name called. So it was a good night.
You know, in his mother, too, which you saw, you know, throughout the tournaments the last couple of years. You know what is interesting is when on draft night, and look, you know, you come from really good athletic stock. I think, you know, you get to a certain point in life and you realize if both parents are athletes, the kid's got a pretty good shot. But it's just that the high percentage of these first rounders whose parents were both athletes.
Yeah. But you know what, Kevin? And you've been in sports, one of our voices in D.C. for years, so you know this too. Even if both parents are great, the probability to get there, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's still so slim. And, like, I think talking to those moms, both parents, but moms in particular, because so many of the guys reference their mom putting the ball in their hands, which I love. Shout out to women that hoop. I hope I got a son that gets drafted one day. We'll see what happens. But I think them saying, I just hoped my son loved it, or I just wanted him to connect. Like, them being able to say that, like, look, I don't know how this is going to go, but I honor a sport that I love and I want my son to love and let the chips fall where they may. Like, it really is one of my favorite assignments for sure.
Yeah, well, by the way, let me just mention one more, and that is who the Wizards picked at number 6. Trey Johnson and his father were great.
Oh,
and Trey Johnson,
favorite interviews.
Yeah, because his sense of humor about his father trying to, you know, act as if he were a bit younger. That was funny.
That was a good one for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's, before we talk about the draft, let's go back to, you know, Sunday night and the completed NBA season. Do you think if Tyrese Halliburton doesn't go down and that he plays game 7 healthy, Indiana wins?
I do not. I think it is a more compelling game, but I do not. I was in a unique position going into the finals, and, you know, at ESPN were asked for our selections and such. The Pacers are damn good, and, like, we all see it now in hindsight. But I'd watched that series with the Knicks up close and personal, and they were better than the Knicks. They're faster, they're younger, they're more energized. They were good. And so as I was picking the series, Kevin, I'm like, don't be a prisoner of the moment. Like, you were more focused on this one. You weren't able to focus as hard on the OKC one. Like, don't be a prisoner of the moment. OKC and 6. And I thought I was being respectful of the OKC and 6. But I say all that to say the Pacers proved what I felt in my gut, that they were very good and they were going to challenge a historic defense. But I believe in defense standing tall, ultimately. And I think the Pacers have a defense that deserved more credit. And so I think in Game 7 it would have been more compelling. But I think that Dagnall and those guys had a few more chips to play. And I think SGA's ceiling as an MVP, finals MVP, scoring leader, I think he had a little bit more of a level to take it, whereas I think we'd seen the best from Tyrese so far.
Yeah, look, I was an idiot. I thought the Thunder would win easily. I picked them in 5. I think they're the best defensive team I've watched this time of year, playoff time, in forever. And I didn't think the Pacers had faced anything like that against the Knicks or even the Cavs. But the Indiana, you know, obviously showed that they were ready for it. Where do you come down on, is this the beginning of a dynastic run? Are they going to be in finals, plural, and are they going to win championships, plural, over the next, you know, 5-plus years?
I guess the asterisk we have to put on that is assuming everybody stays healthy, right?
Yeah, of course.
I think this is a group that we're going to see a couple of times over the next 5 years. Do I think that they will run off back-to-backs? I don't know. Trend says that's not going to happen. We have 7 different champions in the last 7 seasons. But I think the youth of this group makes them unique and poised in a way that, yeah, we thought Denver and Boston might do the same thing, but they weren't as young as this team. Now, I will be curious as they grow up and as they start thinking about second contracts. And it is sort of the life cycle of an NBA player. Even the best of guys have a business mind because they have a finite amount of time that they can be in this space. I am curious what those sort of demands, how that might play out on their interpersonal relationships. But we'll just have to wait and see. But I do think this is a team that's going to be a force in the West for a few years to come.
You know, one quick thing. If we don't get the Jason Tatum injury and the Celtics come back, which was a possibility, the Knicks played great in that series. Would the Celtics have beaten OKC in a best of 7, both teams being healthy?
I think so. And in fact, going through the season, I had OKC coming out of the West, but this was the one that you had flopped on a few times because of how good Boston is. But Boston was good on both sides of the ball. And I just kept thinking back to the play-in tournament, or the in-season tournament, excuse me, let me use the proper language, and what the Bucks were able to do to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and thought that the Celtics would be able to do the same. Now, I think the Thunder grew exponentially, now I'm mixing two words, from the time of the in-season tournament, but I think at its healthiest, Boston can get you on both sides of the ball, and they had offensive firepower that I don't know that OKC would have been able to keep up with.
If I told you next year Oklahoma City went through the season healthy and they weren't in the finals representing the West, which team would it be playing in the finals next year from the West? I mean, we haven't gone through free agency, I understand that, but do you have a gut feel for who it will be the biggest contender to OKC next year?
All right, follow me here. Uh-huh. The first answer is actually Golden State for me. But the answer that I want to be, like, brilliant on is Dallas, because Dallas will, in theory, be healthy minus Kyrie. They will find a serviceable point guard to hold the line in that position, but they will also have a defense that was as tough as the OKC defense. And we are going to enter a 3-year window where depth and defense kind of runs the league. And Dallas, to me, as I look at the West, is the team most poised to match up with what OKC was able to do.
We really did see a postseason where defense dominated. I had Mike Wilbon on the show the other day. He told me that there was a conscious effort, and basically the word went out, they were going to let them play in this postseason. They were going to let them be physical. They were going to let them grab and hold. And we saw that. You know, going back to that Rockets-Warriors series was so intense and so chippy. This is maybe the era we're in, is the best defenses are going to win.
Yeah, and you know what? I've been in the draft hole, Kevin, but you know what? I'd also add Houston to that mix for that exact reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? The pieces that Houston traded, to me, were not their stoutest. The Dylan Brooks trade, I was kind of sad to see, I'll be honest, because I think he added to the edge and was a kid that added to the image of Ime Udoka, right? But they still got Tari Eason. The Thompson kid is going to be terrific on defense. And then you add KD as a sharpshooter. I think particularly in the West, it's going to be fascinating to watch because you've got, if you will, the faces of the league on that side, right, who have always been high-powered offensively. But candidly, we're seeing them begin to slow down. And we know that when guys slow, typically the side that takes a hit is defense, right? When you talk about Steph, Jimmy Butler, LeBron, even the Clippers guys to a degree, right? But if you still got a feisty defense, especially in an era where we're scoring so much and you're getting up and down the floor, but if you could come up with stops, like, I mean, that's just where we at. And we know this thing is such a copycat lead. I'm very cyclical.
Yeah. We're talking to Monica McNutt from ESPN. You know, you mentioned Golden State, and I'm like one of these massive Jimmy Butler fans. But this postseason was weird when Steph got hurt. I mean, he almost was a non-participant at times on offense. And we saw that actually in a couple of games when the Heat made the finals against Denver a few years back. What do you think the deal is with some of those games where you're like, you've got to take more shots. You have to, we need 40 from you tonight.
Do you remember the KD Charles Barkley bus driver thing?
Yeah, vaguely.
Charles Barkley made some comment about, you know, it costs to be the bus driver.
Right.
And KD is like, bro, like, I've won championships. So basically he was saying that KD is not the primary driver. He's a passenger on the bus.
Exactly.
A very important passenger, whatever. Honestly, and I just think it's a funny analogy, but like it can still signify a ton of respect. But I'm watching Jimmy Butler emerge at this point in his career, and I had that thought. Like, are you a bus driver or a passenger? And I think honesty is hugely important in all of our lives, but even in sport. Jimmy went to Golden State planning to support Superman, as he has called it, in Stephen Curry. And when that changed, I just don't know how much of the runs that we've all marveled at were sort of capturing lightning, and Jimmy was just on a heater versus, like, is he a number one guy? And I don't want to get super first takey on us, Kevin, but those were my thoughts as I was watching that unfold.
Look, I don't think that's crazy. It's just that, you know, he had 56 in a playoff game. He went for like 56 and 40 something in back-to-back games, you know, when they took out the Celtics that year. It was like, it was insane. The playoff Jimmy, you know, guy versus what you saw in the regular season. I just thought it was odd. By the way, you didn't mention Denver or Minnesota. And why not?
I think, well, one, maybe sometimes I'm an idiot. But Denver, to me, I just think for as good as Nikola Jokic is, I'm really starting to wonder about the supporting cast there.
Yeah, well, they were injured. I mean, you know, Porter Jr. was injured. Gordon got hurt late in that series, which was a 7-game series, which, as you know, Denver was like 3 minutes away in game four from taking a 3-1 lead.
Correct. I think, yes, those injuries are, I think, important to point out this year. But I just think in general, I'm starting to wonder about that supporting cast. I think when the group that won the championship, they had, again, same kind of thing with OKC. First of all, let's all be very honest. Winning is very hard. It is very delicate, right? They got a different head coach. Some of those veteran guys that knew their role and excelled in their role are gone. When I think of that supporting cast, yeah, AG is great, but I think Michael Porter Jr. has been inconsistent at best.
Yep.
Jamal Murray, I just think as great as Yoke is, the league, teams that, as we talk about teams that can defend, are like, cool, we'll let him have 40 and limit the assist to 10. And, like, I just think there's a little bit of a formula coming in terms of how to slow Denver down, and I don't know that they've proven that they can take it to the next step. I guess I'm just a little bit hesitant on Denver.
Did you grow up?
Minnesota. I think for Minnesota, I don't know, Kevin. You got them getting back a third consecutive time. Like, is it – like, I don't think it's – I just think it's not that easy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. This postseason was wild. OKC was the best team, but they were very close to being eliminated by Denver, then dominated Minnesota. Minnesota dominated the Lakers. I think the Rockets, actually, out of all the teams with what they didn't have, which was somebody who could score, are the team to watch. Amen Thompson is looks like a superstar in the making. Did you grow up a Wizards fan?
So I had an interesting relationship with the Wizards because they were bad for much of my youth.
Right.
And as you know, a basketball hooping hotbed, as we will, I legit remember being like, I can't root for the Wizards. They're terrible. And we have so much better basketball here. So in theory, I was not excited about it. But yes, I followed the team and they're certainly my home team now. Wizards, I was all about the Mystics though. MCI Center, Mystics first season, like all about it.
Yeah, well, you know, because you're from here. This is, as much as it's a, you know, football, Washington Commanders, Washington Redskins, Washington football team town, at its core, this is a basketball city, you know, the ground roots, you know, through high school and the two power programs with Maryland and Georgetown as well. So, a couple more, and I'll let you run, and I appreciate it. Do you think Cooper Flagg is going to be a transcendent, franchise-changing kind of player?
Do you think Scottie Pippen was that type of player?
Well, coming out, I didn't know.
Okay, but we all agree, like, a Hall of Fame career, like, when it's all said and done. I don't
yes.
know that I got Cooper being, like, centerpiece in the way that I think Victor Wembanyama will be, but
right.
I definitely have him being a Scottie on a great team, a guy that's like an undeniable piece in it all. But yeah, I think we're in for a lot of fun when it comes to this young man. And I just think from talking to him and talking with his family, like his compete level, as we've coined the phrase, is discussed a lot. But he's also very much a sponge, like just wants to learn the game of basketball, like, and continue to learn it at the highest level and then go out there and compete with his knowledge. I think that's important.
How did the Wizards do? Do you think?
So Trey Jones, as we were going through tape and prepping for him, I was a big fan. Now, I think beyond the draft night, I'm still trying to figure out the trade and, like, what is the plan moving forward. But, Kevin, you noticed we watched that organization sit through Beal years too long. And
yeah.
So at least I'm encouraged that they're like, what can we do to make progress now? And so I'm excited to see. You just had Will on. You tell me, because I didn't hear. What was Will talking about?
I mean, he's a shooter. He's clearly a shooter. He's fearless. He's a high-level, high-motor competitor. I think he loves him. I think he really likes the player they got at 21, Will Riley. He said if he had gone back to Illinois, this would have been a top five-ish pick next year.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So he really likes him. But you know this. Who knows? I mean, nobody really knows when they're 18 or 19. It's so hard to figure out. Thanks for doing this. Really good to hear your voice. You're doing an excellent job. Take care. Hope to do it with you again soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you, Kevin. Have a good weekend.
Monica McNutt, everybody. At McNutt Monica on X on Twitter. A DMVer, a Georgetown Hoya, and she's doing a great job on ESPN and excellent as a game analyst on the Knicks radio network. All right, we've got some football to talk about. We'll do that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. So yesterday, ESPN.com did a story using their four beat reporters for the four NFC East teams. The name of the story, the title of the story, was NFC East Roundtable. Can the Eagles repeat in the division? As we know, it's been since 2004 since the NFC East has had a repeat winner. Giants reporter Jordan Renan, Cowboys reporter Todd Archer, Eagles reporter Tim McManus, and of course our guy, the Washington reporter John Keim, came, John Keim, was those four answered a bunch of questions when it came to the NFC East. You know, things like, you know, what's on the line for your quarterback? What's been the most underrated move by your team? For John, it was just retaining the entire coaching staff. What's the biggest concern for your team? John states the obvious, the defense. And then they come to the final question. Who wins the NFC East in 2025? Everybody understands that the NFC East has not had a repeat winner since the Eagles repeated in 2004. That was part of a three-year run, I think, of winning the division, 02, 03, and 04. So, the Eagles reporter, Tim McManus, he picked the Eagles to win the division. The Cowboys beat reporter, Archer, Todd Archer, he picked the Eagles to win the NFC East. John Keim, he predicted the Eagles to win the NFC East. He writes, Philadelphia, yet another year predicting a repeat winner in a division that hasn't had one since 2004. But how do you go against the Eagles at this point? He does write, but the Commanders, who lost to the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, must answer questions on defense, though they have the right quarterback in Jaden Daniels. While the Cowboys have a first-time head coach in their own questions, the Giants will be good defensively, but quarterback remains a major issue, so until further notice, it's the Eagles. Then we get to Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants. He decided, no repeat winner in 2025. It hasn't happened since 2004. We're going to go, you know, away from the favorite. And he picked the Cowboys to win the division. And he writes, let's get a bit crazy here because that's the recent history of the NFC East. No, not the Giants. That gap is massive. But since everyone is down on the Cowboys this season, it only makes sense that they surprise and win the division. There's still some high-end talent on that roster, and Dallas was good for at least 12 wins each of the previous 3 years that Dak Prescott played double-digit games. So this is largely contingent on him being healthy, but to count the Cowboys out with Prescott potentially having the best weapons of his career, remember they added George Pickens, seems silly. They will surprise. So, if I told you that the NFC East will continue the trend of no repeat winner, meaning the Eagles do not win the division, who wins the division? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. There are three choices, obviously. Washington, Dallas, and the Giants. Dallas has a completely new coaching staff with Brian Schottenheimer taking over for Mike McCarthy. I have no idea how that will go. You know, he's got Matt Eberflus. Remember, they brought in Matt Eberflus to be the defensive coordinator. I think he's an excellent defensive coordinator. Not a good head coach, but will be an excellent defensive coordinator. I think they'll get Micah Parsons signed before the season starts. So let's look at these three teams, and I'll start with the Cowboys, and I'll end with Washington. If we use the given in the equation, Philadelphia doesn't win the division, which of the other three teams would win the division? Again, 301-230-0980. Which team wins the division if it's not Philadelphia, and why? Dallas still does have high-end talent, you know, among their starters. You know, you add Pickens to obviously C.D. Lamb and Jalen Tolbert. Remember, they traded for Jonathan Mingo. That didn't really work out, but they didn't have a quarterback. They still have a weapon that they use, by the way, as a kick returner as well, in Kevontae Turpin. Their offensive line, you know, you got Guyton and Tyler Smith on the left side, but, you know, there are obviously some major changes from center across to the right side. They drafted that guy, Tyler Booker, in the first round. A lot of people think he's going to be a stud at right guard. They don't really have a big-time tight end option, and then they've got a whole new backfield. They signed Javonte Williams from Denver. I've been a big Javonte Williams fan going back to when he was at North Carolina. He just has not been able to stay healthy. When he's been healthy, he's been pretty good. They also signed Miles Sanders, and they drafted Jaden Blue from Texas in the fourth round, fifth round, something like that. Defensively, Dallas can be really good defensively. You know, with Parsons, with, you know, they lost Dexter Lawrence, obviously. That guy, Overshown, remember, before he got hurt, how well he played at linebacker. They added Kenneth Murray. They've got to be healthy in the back end. Remember, they didn't get Jerron Bland back until at some point during the season. They've got Trayvon Diggs coming back. Up front, they've still got Mazie Smith. They added Dante Fowler Jr. back to their roster. They added Solomon Thomas. You know, I don't think that's a big add. They drafted the kid from Boston College that we talked a lot about heading into the draft, Donovan Azaraku, to be a pass rusher. They're going to be well-coached defensively. I believe that with Eberflus. You know, it comes down to, I guess, Prescott staying healthy. And what kind of head coach slash play caller is Brian Schottenheimer going to be as a head coach and a play caller? I mean, he's obviously been in that position before, you know, with Dak. They've got two times the weapons, if you consider Pickens to be a weapon, and not, you know, more weapon than headache. Dallas, you know, I could see Dallas having a much better season than a lot of people think they'll have. You know, they have a stretch during their season where it's like Eagles, Chiefs. Hold on for 1 second. I looked at this last night. They go, I guess if you want to count at Vegas, but Eagles, this is Thanksgiving week at home on Sunday against the Eagles, Thanksgiving Day against the Chiefs, then at Detroit. Then home against Minnesota and the Chargers, and then at Washington on Christmas Day. That is quite the stretch late in the season. If they get there and they're unhealthy, I mean, the season's already done. Could Dallas be that team? All of these teams with some talent, if they stay completely healthy, they could be dangerous. They could be. I mean, look, Dallas may have been the toughest matchup Washington had last year. The two games against the Cowboys were like mismatches up front. They really were. Then you look at the Giants. I think this is an interesting one. Bear with me on this. I think the Giants have a really good roster. I just think quarterback is a major question mark with Russell Wilson and Jackson Dart and Jameis Winston. Defensively, they are rock solid, okay? You start, by the way, I mentioned Dexter Lawrence. DeMarcus Lawrence moved on from Dallas. They still have Dexter Lawrence. They have Brian Burns back, Okereke back. They added Abdul Carter with their first-round pick. They've got they added Javon Holland from Miami to their secondary. They got Deontay Banks back for year three, I think, for Banks. They've got Thibodeau still. This is a defense that was good last year, has been good. Their biggest problem is that they haven't had a supporting offense. They've had to be on the field way too much. They've had to be on the field when they're behind, when other teams, you know, the context of the game gets sideways, the score context, that is. And then on offense, they have improved that offensive line in recent years. They've got Malik Nabers, who looks like a superstar in the making. They've got in their backfield a guy that I thought was very underrated as a rookie last year. I thought Tyrone Tracy was outstanding. Still have Devin Singletary. They added the guy from Arizona State, Cam Scataboo. It's quarterback with the Giants. It's quarterback, 100%. Can Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston or Jackson Dart be better than what they've had, a lot better than what they've had at quarterback? I'll guess no, and I won't say the Giants, but I'm going to tell you right now, if the Giants end up being a much feistier team in 2025, it's not going to surprise me at all, because they are good defensively. And they were feisty at times last year with literally no ability at quarterback for much of the year. They lost here in a close game early without a kicker. They lost to Dallas in a close game. They were right there with a chance to beat Cincinnati in a Sunday night game. You know, they had a chance against us in the Meadowlands. I'm not going to be shocked if the Giants are better than people think. But then you get to the obvious choice if we say that Philadelphia isn't going to be the first repeat division winner since 2004. If we're only picking from the other three, of course, Washington would be the favorite. And that would be my pick. Because when all is said and done, and maybe you're unsure about rosters, and is there a big difference between the Cowboys roster and the Washington roster and the Giant roster? Well, there is at one position, quarterback. So when in doubt, quarterback. Keep it simple, stupid. And Washington not only has the best quarterback of the three teams that we're considering, they've got the best quarterback in the division, and they've got the best quarterback in the conference. So, for me, if it's not Philly, it's Washington. Sorry, Jordan Renan. I love the contrarian take. And by the way, and we went through this a few weeks back, when teams that have won the division to stop the favorite from repeating in the division, it's like a very high percentage of the teams that ended up winning the division in the NFC East were not the second choice. They weren't the second favorite. They were either the third favorite or the dead last favorite. So when you least expect it in the NFC East, that's when you get a surprise. Look, Washington didn't win the division last year, but they were obviously a major surprise in the division, a major surprise in the conference. 301-230-0980. The NFC East hasn't had a repeat winner since 2004. If they don't have a repeat winner in 2025 again, which of the other three teams do you think will win the division? Jordan Renan, the Giants beat reporter, says it would be the Cowboys. I'm going to assume that most of you will be on Washington, but phone lines are open for that. 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, last night the NBA draft reached a conclusion. The Wiz take Jameer Watkins with the 43 overall selection, and they receive in the trade that they received from the Utah Jazz. Watkins is a two-way guard from Florida State who spent his first two seasons at VCU. He made a name for himself through his elite defensive prowess and his NBA-ready frame. The Washington Capitals made a trade last night, sending 2026 second-round pick and a 2027 sixth-round pick for forward Justin Sordeef. The Nats, they take on the Anaheim Angels tonight. Jake Irvin takes the hill against Jose Soriano to kick off the final series of a West Coast road trip. First pitch is at 9:35, and Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 9:05 on the Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
This is probably the easiest question for this audience that we've ever asked. But on sort of the heels of the NFC East ESPN reporters picking division winners in the NFC East, three of them picked the Eagles, including our own John Keim. And then Jordan Renan, the Giants reporter, picked Dallas and said, when in essence, this is what you get in the NFC East. You usually get the thing you're not expecting. And if it's not Philly, almost everybody's going to pick Washington. And historically, it isn't the team that's picked second when the, you know, last year's division winner doesn't repeat. But I'm asking you, if it's not Philadelphia, if we don't get a repeat winner in the NFC East for the first time in 21 years, who will it be? I'm saying Washington. And it's just, I think Dallas's roster, if it stays healthy, is capable of being, you know, a tough out. I think the Giant roster, minus the quarterback, is an interesting roster. Will they get good play from Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston or Jackson Dart? It can't get any worse than it's been for the Giants at quarterback. But the bottom line is, Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback, not only among the three teams that we're considering. He's the best in the division, he's the best in the conference, and he's no worse than number five or number six in the league. So, when in doubt, QB. Max, do you have an answer?
I kind of like where Jordan Renan's coming from here, because he is right. Like, if you look at the history of the NFC East, it's never who you expect, really. It's always somebody coming out of left field and taking the mantle. So the Cowboys is not as bad of a pick as I think it is going to be. But at the same time, I can't pick against my boys. I'm wearing the shirt right now. I can't. I have to pick the Commanders to win the NFC East.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and see what you guys think. I'll be surprised if somebody calls in with Giants or Cowboys. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if somebody says Dallas. We have a lot of Dallas fans that listen to the show, to this station. Let's start with our guy Joe in Springfield. Joe, if it's not the Eagles in the NFC East, who will it be?
Hey, Kevin, what's up?
Hey, Joe.
Okay, surprise, surprise, Kevin. You know me for so long. The Commanders. And by the way, I agree with you that Dallas's roster is good and the Cowboys will be better. The question is, Kevin, that second half schedule for the Cowboys is brutal. I mean, starting right before Thanksgiving and ending like right with us on Christmas Day, the Giants' first 4 weeks are playing Washington, Dallas,
brutal.
Kansas City, and
brutal.
Chargers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, Kevin, Brian Daboll, I know, is on the hot seat, and you're having them play that four-game stretch at the beginning of the season. That's going to be an all-four start. Who knows? But, yeah, Kevin, I believe the Commanders will do it this year. And honestly, Kevin, up in Philadelphia, you know the Eagles coaching staff is still trying to figure out what can we do to stop Jaden Daniels, because all three games against Philadelphia, Washington, I mean, yes, we beat the Eagles the second time without Jalen Hurts playing the second half. But those other games, Kevin, could have gone Washington's way as well. I mean, even the first game up in Philly on that Thursday night, we're trailing 12-10 late in the game, and
they had a lead in the fourth quarter. They were not the better team that night, but they had the lead in the fourth quarter, right? It was 10-6,
exactly.
I think, going into the fourth quarter, something like that.
And if we had gone and we had completed that fourth down conversion, we would have hit the clock, and we would have escaped the Philly win. So, yeah, Kevin, I mean, listen, Philly is the defending Super Bowl champion. They still have a good roster, but Washington. You know, I mean, I am concerned about the defense, and as I have a right to be, as do you. But could the Commanders make it interesting? Yes. Is that schedule brutal? Yes. But if Jaden Daniels is under center, who knows what happens? So we'll see what happens. I will say the Commanders, and any Cowboy fans who call in, whether they set foot in Dallas or not, they can't call themselves Cowboy fans.
That wouldn't surprise me if a Cowboy fan calls in and says Washington. I mean, you know, they're not typically the brightest of the NFC's fan bases, but it's kind of obvious. You mentioned the Giants' schedule. Listen to this to start the season. Here on September 7th, then at Dallas week 2, and then they get the Chiefs week 3 on Sunday Night Football, and then the Chargers the week after that at home. That is a brutal start to the schedule when you are on the hot seat, as Joe pointed out. Bobby in North Carolina, if it's not Philly, if the NFC East once again doesn't have a repeat winner, who wins the division?
Hi, Kev. Good morning.
Hey, Bobby.
You remember about Gibbs 1.0 when we were really good, one of the best franchises, and you had that feeling, nervousness in your belly, you know, every week. You knew we were good. That's where I'm at right now with this team. I know we got a chance to be good, and I'm very just cautiously optimistic, I guess, is the best way to describe it. But got that nervous feeling where, because I know the schedule's a whole lot harder, Kevin. You already talked about division. Division's good. I mean, you've been on the Giants for 2-3 years now.
No, I've been wrong. I've been on the Giants roster, but not the quarterback. Mark about the quarterback.
You're right. I mean, you've been giving praise. I didn't mean to knock you there, but you're right. It's been the quarterback.
No, but I've been wrong. I thought the Giants were going to be better the last few years. You're right.
Well, but But they got a good roster. Their defense is pretty doggone good. Trust me. I mean, if they can get a quarterback play, and they got Nate Neighbors, they got a good receiver, you know, so they got a good
great
running
receiver.
Back, so you never know. So, yeah, you're right. He's elite. But all that being said, Kev, I mean, I love our team. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say we're not going to win a division, but we got to stay healthy. And, of course, I've been telling you all, the run defense is my biggest concern.
Sure.
We have got to stop there. And I felt really optimism until yesterday. I heard you on the podcast, and you had that 10 ways we could be a dumpster fire, and I thought about two or three of those points you brought out. I said, you know what? Kevin's got a good point, so maybe I'm not as optimistic.
Well, no, I didn't come up with 10 reasons they'd be a dumpster fire. That was a Philadelphia guy.
I know it was, but he had three good points, though, Kevin.
He had some good points.
So, you know, maybe I'm not as ginned up as I was 24 hours ago before the podcast, but hopefully we stay healthy, and it's going to be our division to win this year and, you know, make the playoffs and have a chance to make it, you know, to the Super Bowl. Have a good weekend, brother.
Thanks, Bobby. I really do hope, though. I really think about how awesome the end of the season would be. You know, we're in December. It's holiday time. It's cold. Football's, you know, dominant on TV. And you've got two massive showdowns in the final 3 weeks of the season for the division. You know, you go into that Saturday, December 20th game. Let's just say Washington, if they got three left, they would have played 14. You know, Washington's 10-4, Philly's 10-4, and they got two games against each other over the final 3 weeks. Let's make it 11-3 and 11-3. That, because then you're talking about maybe for the one seed. That would be awesome. Because now you're talking about the continuation of playing three times last year and then having two titanic showdowns in December. What worries me about those two games is we're going to get there and at least one of them isn't going to mean anything. Let's go to our guy Lap in D.C. Lap, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
Hey, Lap.
Thanks for taking my call, man. Good show, bro. Yeah, I'm going with the Commanders, man. I think we got a good chance to, you know, win the division. You know, as I told you last year, you know, when we were going on that run, I said, man, we do good in the division. We got a chance to make the playoffs. And we had a chance. You know, we led most of the season. We was leading the division, you know what I'm saying, before that stretch with Pittsburgh and Dallas and Philly. But, yeah, if we can kind of handle business again, man, get 3-4 wins in the division, man, you know, we got a great chance to win it and definitely help us.
What did we go in the division last year? We lost to Dallas. We lost to Philly once. 4-2, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 4-2. The best stretch we've had, of course, when RG was here, was 5-1. We almost swept the division that year, but. Yeah, if you get 3 or 4 wins in your division, Kevin, I mean, it not only helps you win the division, but also helps you to make the playoffs. Because if you can't get wins in your division, man, you're talking about trying to get 8 or 9, 10 wins outside the division. That's going to be tough. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. 6 games are played in the division, 11, all right? Nearly twice as many games are played outside the division. And so those games are really important, too. But yeah, it's certainly hard to win the division if you go 1-5 or 2-4. Thanks, Lap. Appreciate it. Let's finish it up with Kenny. Kenny, if Philly doesn't repeat, which the NFC East hasn't had a repeat winner since 2004, who will win the division?
Happy Friday, Kev.
Hey, Kenny, what's up?
Hey, first of all, man, I appreciate seeing you and Scott Van Pelt hold the DMV down and pulling, you know, all of the DMV alum, and I really enjoyed that interview with Monica, man. That was good. That was
great. But, yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's awesome, man. She's awesome to answer your question, though. I would say reluctantly Washington, simply because our own history itself says that one great year or one playoff appearance begets a disaster the next season.
Yeah.
So, but the thing that gives, go ahead.
Well, we've only won the division. So the last three division titles, 12, obviously 13 was a disaster. 15, 16 was a good season. It was back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in a long time. But it was not a playoff season. You know, that season finale against the Giants was a disaster. And then, yeah, 2020 into 2021. The funny thing about 2021, without the COVID, you know, disasters of the end of season, we were right there at 6-6. Mm-hmm. Going into those final four games. But anyway, yeah, go ahead. So you like Washington, right? You're hesitant, but you like Washington if it's not Philly.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think, you know, as, I mean, any fan that's, I would say, probably the age of 40 and over, you have to be reluctant, you know, hopeful.
But we didn't win the division last year. Remember that.
Well, and that's what I mean to correct, is we had a successful season. We had a playoff season where we appeared. Right. In the playoffs, but I would say it feels good to finally be in a position where we can say if our quarterback, barring injury, is there, then we have an excellent chance to do anything. And I can't remember the last time I've been able to say that. So I want to ride that wave in addition to the fact that, you know, I believe that nationally we got some juice right now. So I just want to ride that through and support the squad. You know what
Appreciate
I mean? Thanks,
Kevin. Yeah. Not surprising. The answers. I mean, that's the obvious choice. Washington, by the way, odds-wise in the NFC East. Hold on. Philly's the favorite, okay? And they kind of moved after the draft. Remember, they moved into a bigger favorite position. Let me see what it is right now. NFC divisions. So right now, Philly's minus 142 to win the division. They are the biggest favorite in the NFC to win their respective division, just as a comparison point. Washington is the second pick at plus 204. So they're 2-1 choice to win the division. Dallas is 7-1. The Giants are basically 20-1. But in looking at the NFC divisions, Philly is the biggest favorite. Detroit's the next biggest favorite, followed by the Bucks and then the Niners. The Niners are favored over the Rams to win the NFC West. I like the Rams. But the Niners are going to be interesting too, man, because if they stay healthy, they weren't last year. If they come back and they're fully healthy, they still have good front line, in some cases, great front line players. Ben Standig will join us next.